Tribute, An Irresistible Force by Will Mount.
Holly Reed, who died on Friday, aged 57, was a pixie, a sprite. You wouldn't know it from looking at her, 5 foot high in her boots with those tiny hands, but she changed the language and the landscape of British sculpture. I played a small but not insignificant part in her meteoric rise. She was a student in my sculpture class at Hinckley College. We were bound together by an unfortunate incident. I was commissioned by the Royal Parks to design a statue of Her Majesty the Queen Mother. Reed came along to the meetings with the Parks Commissioners as my assistant. It was to have been my 5th Royal Monument, but at the last minute my design was rejected on the grounds that it was too modest, insufficiently majestic. Somewhere along the line, Reed had managed to ingratiate herself with the project commissioners to such an extent that she was persuaded by them to complete it. A good teacher is supposed to brim with pride when he is outstripped by his pupil. That was sadly not the case with us. Our relations cooled, and I was left to watch her inexorable rise from the sidelines. From time to time, I would hear of her successes at the Arts Council, or of her discreet lobbying at the dinner tables of the wealthy. Her undoubted authenticity was undeniably appealing to the plutocratic donor class. You wouldn't say she was exactly beautiful, but she exuded an energy that stimulated them enormously. The lady patrons were less excited by her. Although there were exceptions, she created an enormous raised middle finger for one lively divorcee. The good lady placed it in her Buckinghamshire driveway and pointed it in the direction of her former husband's new home in Long Island, 3,000 miles away. Her own relationships were complicated. It appears that she had left her family behind her for good when she went off to college. Once installed, she enjoyed the attentions of a number of the fine art faculty, who were all struck by the contrast between the small scale of her person and the grand scale of her ambition. On the day that her enormous stone croissant was unveiled at the Venice Biennale, tragedy struck when her boyfriend succumbed to an overdose. With commendable presence of mind, she dedicated the work to him, ensuring acres of good copy in the newspapers and not a little goodwill from her peers. It later emerged that the work had in fact been a collaboration with this unfortunate boy, and it had been the omission of this fact from the festival catalogue that had precipitated his actions that terrible morning. The daily grind in the art world is full of such drama. All artists worth their salt reveal themselves by the way they mill the pernicious grist of their lives into the nourishing bread of their work. In this respect, you would have to call Reed a master of her materials. She turned any number of unfortunate events, both public and private, into personal triumphs. At around this time, I was reunited with her at a dinner party hosted by a friend who, ignoring our history, had put us next to each other. A frosty silence over the soup was broken when she said that she had heard that an anonymous biography of her was doing the rounds of various art publishers. I replied that I had heard something similar. "Apparently there's a lot in it about the Royal Parks Commission," she said. "Is there?" I replied. "I wonder where they got all that from. Perhaps I should speak to the palace," she continued. I told her that I didn't think that would be necessary. The manuscript was withdrawn from circulation shortly after. The rest of that evening passed pleasantly enough, and by the end of it I had agreed to write an introduction to her upcoming catalogue. However, once my contribution was safely at the printers, she allowed herself to be whisked out of my sphere once more back into the maelstrom of the international art market. I wouldn't want anyone listening to this to think that I thought any less of her for this. No, I am aware that great artists are sacred monsters whose grip on the imagination inoculates them against censure. Reed's complete lack of inhibition gave her this type of immunity. She actually relished criticism from the arbiters of decency and good taste. She would lure them into an intemperate rant and then mock their mean-spirited impulses. I was not exempt. She used to say, "I love it when you try to be pompous." And despite myself, I loved hearing her say those words. She brought me out of myself. I wouldn't have taken such impertinence from anyone else. My friends say that she spoke highly of me till the very end, but I suspect she spoke highly of everyone she came across. People responded to this extravagant warmth by going out of their way for her. Altruism is a subtle and often deceptive impulse. The offer of a helping hand often conceals a desire to control and to own. Holly saw this clearly. Some of these father figures wanted to smother her flame. She never let them see it until it was too late, but they were handling a blowtorch. The occasion of our last meeting has been widely reported. It is the reason, I suspect, that I have been asked to offer this tribute. I have been in many foundries before, and I know that the maze of cranes on the foundry floor must be negotiated with caution. Reed may have been concentrating on the cameras when she stepped in front of the vast bronze suspended above the platform. I don't know. I did my best to console the crane operator afterwards. I explained that I was to blame, as I had suggested raising the work so that it could be seen by the people at the back. This poor man wasn't to know that the harness had come loose. The mockery that has attended this tragic end to a brilliant career leads me to despair of what is laughingly called social media. Some commentators have decorated their appreciations of her with words like hubris and schadenfreude. My progressive outlook forbids me from regarding such notions with anything but scepticism. But there is no denying that malevolence persists in the human soul. I've seen it. And I have felt it. Malevolence. Did Holly feel it in herself, feel it towards others? Probably. She was only human. But she was so open, so free. I cannot picture her without a smile playing on her lips or lights dancing in her eyes. No, in the end, I think she acted without really knowing what effect she was having, and she didn't see the result as it hurtled towards her until it was too late.